That's what my work's focused around almost entirely, is functionality with the intention of maintaining or improving independence. Because independence is everything, really. It's how we maintain our quality of life, our dignity, our sense of purpose, our ability to contribute to the community, to spend time with our families. It's literally the foundation of everything that we love. And that is the main objective with my work, is to improve independence. Hi, I'm Ben Broadhead, and you're listening to the Built podcast presented by Fitbod.
Welcome back to the show. On today's episode, we feature a discussion with Ben Broadhead. He's written a book called 50 Exercises for Older Adults. We dive deeply into the importance of incorporating functional fitness as we age. And Ben shares his experience as a trainer working specifically with that demographic.
Before our listeners go ahead and tune out and think that this episode doesn't apply to them, we want people to go into this episode maybe thinking about and reinforcing the reason why they work out at this stage of life. I don't think most of our listeners fall into the demographic of Ben's clientele, but we all have people in our lives who might benefit from listening to this episode. So I want our listeners to think about sharing it with them. I want our listeners to think about sharing the app with those people who might fall into that demographic, who don't know what to do when they get to the gym. We all know that Fitbod is fabulous at laying out a plan for us when we get to the gym, and that is imperative for us to feel successful once we get there.
Right, that's so important. So if you're older and listening, listen for yourself. But if you're younger and you're listening and maybe you're using Fitbod, consider sharing. So we really hope you enjoy this episode.
Today we have a special guest named Ben Broadhead. He's a personal trainer. He's also an author of a book called 50 Exercises for Older Adults. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Michael and Janneke, how are you doing today?
Good. Excited to be here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Ben. Go ahead and share a little bit about what you do and who you work with.
So I'm a personal trainer based in the UK, 23 years old. I started off in a gym like most personal trainers do, and later sort of evolved my career to specialize in working with older adults. And that was kind of a natural progression that occurred in my clientele. And it's something that I found really fulfilling and meaningful and dedicated a lot of my professional life to.
So Ben, how did you find yourself working in that specific demographic?
It was kind of a natural progression. I started in a gym like most PTs do and left to do mobile personal training, which means that I'm bringing the gym to my clients and training them at their homes. And maybe a year into that, I found that a lot of the clientele I was attracting were in their 70s and 80s. And I just had an epiphany that I enjoyed working with that age group more than I did any other age group, and that I wanted to specialize there as opposed to going into strength and conditioning or other areas that you might specialize in.
I think it's really important to begin this process before we're in our 70s, right? And I think the value comes when we think about the things we can do today, even if we're younger. Maybe talk about the importance of functional training as we even begin to think about growing older.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really valid point. So a lot of my work is with people that have already begun to decline, but there's a lot that we can do in our sort of middle adulthood that can determine the trajectory of our aging process and maybe improve outcomes. So more sort of preventative measures as opposed to treatment. They say, what do they say? Prevention is better than cure.
Absolutely. I'm at that point. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think this is really important. So if listeners are tuning in and they're thinking about what this show is going to be about, we're talking about the importance of maintaining your physical fitness from a functional perspective. And I'm kind of making this transition. I've always been a heavy lifter. I've always tried to work on my physique and my strength. And I'm transitioning into this space where parts of my body are breaking down. Like I've got a shoulder injury and I've got a back injury. And I'm really starting to think about changing the amount of weight I lift, like the actual LBs on the bar, but also incorporating bands and functional stretching and mobility. So I really want to dig into this. If I go from powerlifting to a more functional program, what does that mean? And what are some of the exercises that I should start to look at?
I wouldn't dismiss the importance and the benefit of doing strength training at the gym. When you go into sort of the realms of powerlifting, maybe you can end up sort of pushing that to the point where you're a little bit more susceptible to injury. And obviously there's a happy medium to be found. But definitely strength training is part of the sort of foundation of what I do and what I advocate for. But then that has to be balanced with like you said, stretching, mobility work, and having a holistic approach to fitness where you're covering all the various components and not sort of honing in on one, which a lot of us can do if we're focused on physique. Most people in the gym are guilty of that. I am too.
Yeah, so true. I think a lot of us think that the only reason we're in the gym is for the aesthetics of it and the reason that we're lifting weights. But if we're doing nothing at all, what age does that decline actually start? I think people might be surprised to hear the answer.
I completely agree with what you've said, that there is a lot of emphasis on aesthetics. And I think sometimes that can even deter people because even potentially they're intimidated by it, or they might just be happy with their physique and say, well, I'm not going to go to the gym because I like how I look. As if training is something cosmetic, which it really isn't. The sort of fundamental benefit of training in the gym is health. And sometimes I think that can be overlooked in the industry. There's so much emphasis on how we look. In terms of physical decline, like you asked, I think one of the main things I look at is muscle atrophy, which occurs with age. That tends to initiate around the age of 30 and then it accelerates.
Some of us passed
through
a long time ago. Is that an inevitable decline, or what are some of the things that we can be doing to combat that aging process that you say is starting as young as 30?
In regards to whether it's inevitable, what I always say is that there are inevitable degenerative processes that occur. Processes of physical decline, but they can all be offset or potentially reversed with the correct implementation of training and nutrition. That's what I always say, because I want to inspire people to have hope and to be fit and healthy and maintain that. But at the same time, I want to be realistic. And in terms of the muscle atrophy, there's two main things. It's resistance training, ideally with some progressive overload, and consumption of protein as well. The protein synthesis, which is sort of the growth and repair of muscle tissue.
Yeah, I'm hearing this a lot, this massive importance on protein. So I think it might be important to just restate those numbers. Like, I've heard statistics around the recommended protein intake, something like 0.8 grams per pound of desired body weight.
I think the easiest way to do it is 1 gram of protein per 1 pound
ideal body weight.
That's a really quick, easy calculation. So if you have a bunch of weight to lose, if you're at 230 pounds and your goal weight is to be 195 pounds, you probably would be looking to consume 195 grams of protein in your daily calorie allotment. I think it's important that people remember that those protein grams need to fall within your calorie allotment. The loose guidelines.
Does that recommendation change as we begin to age?
I don't personally use statistics like that in my work, just because it's only relevant to people that count their
macros,
protein intake on MyFitnessPal, or else. And as you might imagine, most people in their 80s aren't on MyFitnessPal.
Most. Right. Okay. So rule of thumb.
So I have more sort of general.
Really?
My guideline is have some protein in every meal. That's what I tell my clients. That's the more sort of realistic goal.
Prioritize protein.
You were talking about starting a decline as early as 30. How do you inspire people to make them realize that it's not inevitable, that you can change and reverse this? What's the biggest obstacle you get from your older clients?
That's a big part of my work, is trying to inspire people and liberate them to get involved, not to feel put off by the fact that they might be undergoing physical decline, or maybe they haven't engaged in physical activity previously and they essentially feel that it's too late, which is sort of the polar opposite of what I preach. One of the things that helps people get motivated, or one of the tools I use, is I just refer back to one of my case studies of a previous client. So if I'm in a consultation with someone, I've probably at this point worked with someone in a very similar age or with a similar condition. So I can just refer to them and I'll say I worked with so-and-so, and I might say, well, they were actually 5 years older than you are and had a similar condition. And since working with me and applying themselves, they've actually increased their physical capacity.
Ben, can I ask you maybe to share some specific stories? I know you're generalizing there, but what are some of the specifics of the conditions that you come into with your clients? Like, what is it that people are trying to regain by working with you?
Sure. In most cases, it's things like sarcopenia, which is age-related muscle atrophy, like we've been talking about, things like osteoporosis, things like arthritis as well. I think maybe one of my most compelling sort of case studies is with one of my clients who I'm quite close with now, called Len, and he has polio. So he was around in the polio epidemic in maybe the 50s or 60s. He's probably one of the last surviving people that had it. But essentially, it's you lose function of your limbs, basically. And so he had one leg that he didn't have any agency over at all. So he's in a chair. And we worked on just being really persistent, trying to move that leg with different exercises in different planes against resistance, just doing like an isometric hold or all sorts of things. And now he can move that leg, which he couldn't previously. I don't think that he's necessarily increased his strength massively. I think it's more of a neurological adaptation. And it was just his sort of sheer will of mentally just trying to will his leg to move and doing that consistently. And then just building up that mind-muscle connection like we all do with our sort of movements in the gym, and just became more in tune and kind of activated maybe muscle tissues that were a bit dormant previously. So he can now do an awful lot more than he used to be able to. And was surprised by that as well. His doctors had told him that he wouldn't be able to use that.
That's an amazing story. I love that. That's got to be so gratifying. Do you experience that quite a bit with your clients where you see these magical transformations?
There's a lot that can happen neurologically when people struggle to move in certain planes and they struggle to activate certain muscle groups. And we all kind of experience that in the gym as well. Like I know, for example, when I started training, and this is the case for a lot of people, I would do the lat pull down and my lats were not firing at all. And I was relying a lot on my biceps. And all this kind of bodybuilders in the gym would try and help me. And there was just nothing engaging there. Whereas now I know exactly what it feels like to engage my lats and I can do it on command. And it's a very similar process.
It's so funny that you say that, actually, because I am currently working with a client who's in his 70s as well. And he's been coming to the gym regularly. But again, like you were just saying, he's going through a lot of the motions, but he's actually not activating a lot of the muscle groups that he should be activating as he goes through those exercises. And I think that's an important lesson for all of our listeners to have as well. I always say to my clients, you can make the exercise easier by incorporating a lot of different muscle groups or having other muscle groups overcompensate. But we want the exercise to be more effective for the muscle groups that it's programmed for. So learning how to properly engage your glutes, learning how to properly engage those lats. Those exercises can be done by having other muscles compensate for them, but you're not learning to actually activate. And it creates functional challenges within our body if we're not able to activate those things correctly. Is that true?
Absolutely. I think it's important as well, because if we're relying on certain muscle groups and we're always biasing those, then we're going to exacerbate muscular imbalances that are already present. And that's not really good in terms of injury.
100%. Mike, I love to tell my clients sometimes when they make the corrections, they'll say, "Ooh, that's a lot harder." And I'm like, no, it's not harder. It's a lot more effective as opposed to recognizing that it's harder when we actually isolate those muscle groups.
There's something that I found can help. So if you actually put your hand on the muscle and then feel it contract, I think that really builds the mind-muscle connection. And when people do that, you see something click in their mind. And I was doing that with a lady the other day. So she was doing, it's not actually a movement that most of us do in the gym, but with seniors, it's quite relevant, doing dorsiflexion with ankles. That's the opposite of plantar flexion. So it's like the opposite of a calf raise. And that builds up. So the ankle flex in the opposite direction, builds up the muscle in the front of the shins. But that muscle tissue obviously atrophies like the rest of the muscle tissue in our body does. But what that means for older adults in a lot of cases is that they trip on their toes because they're not picking their toes up. So I do that exercise a lot. But the other day, there's one lady who can hardly pick up her toes. So I've got her to put her hand on the front of her shin and then she can start to feel the muscle contracting a little bit. And it's gradually she's getting that connection there and having more agency over the movement of her ankle. For health outcomes in general, one of the best things that we can do is engage in resistance exercise from a young age. And I think that's something that's being spoken about more and more in the fitness industry. So just being in the gym and doing compound lift, even just 3 days a week, is so beneficial to our health and in terms of, preventing excessive muscle atrophy as we get older, which will affect our functionality.
Do you want to just maybe explain to our listeners what you mean when you say compound lifting? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, sure.
Because some people might not understand the distinction between compound and isolation.
Yeah, so a compound movement is one that utilizes multiple muscle groups as opposed to an isolation exercise, which focuses on just one. For example, a bicep curl isolates the bicep, whereas a dumbbell row uses muscles of the back and the bicep. The compound exercises are the ones to focus on because they're more efficient, particularly for those who don't train every single day. They're the ones to prioritize, and they're the ones where you sort of see the most benefit and in building muscle in the major muscle groups.
We've got a link to Ben's book. It's a great book. It's entitled 50 Exercises for Older Adults. And I'm curious about, as a demographic, I think everyone can relate to the struggle of staying motivated and relying on discipline to keep yourself going to the gym and making those gains. How do you find the older demographic in terms of staying motivated and staying on program?
It's not maybe as difficult as you might think. Most of the people that work with me do so because they want to. Generally, my clients tend to be quite motivated, which is obviously positive. There are varying degrees of motivation. In some cases, obviously, my work, I've got situations where someone might have reached out to me on behalf of their parent, and their parent, who would be my client, might not be as compelled to exercise or be as invested in it. But I think once I've built rapport with someone, generally, they do get stuck in and they start to enjoy it and ask questions. And that just comes down to a case of building good relationships with people, being empathetic and non-intimidating. I think sometimes they maybe have a false perception of what it is to have a personal trainer or how I'm going to be and how I'm going to conduct myself. And they think they're going to be bossed around, and that isn't the case. So I think once they get to know me, they become a lot more at ease and they start to enjoy it and they let their guard down a bit. And they don't have that sort of reluctance anymore.
Yeah, I don't imagine it's much different than working with any other demographic. And I think people are motivated or disciplined intrinsically just on their own sometimes and have their own baggage that they bring to the process. And I have a funny story as you're talking about someone being referred from maybe a parent or whatever in your scenario. I remember when I was a student in my personal training classes, I had to meet with another personal trainer who had been working for years. And I chose my brother-in-law to meet with him. And one of the questions that I had to ask him was, what is some of his least favorite clients to work with? And one of the answers that he gave me was somebody who has been referred from somebody else, that has been pushed into the process from someone else. And it's actually very interesting that you share that and he shared the similar sentiment, because I have found that to be true myself. I have had people in the gym who have bought sessions with me for a loved one, for a wife, for a spouse, for whoever. And it's interesting because those often are the people who are least interested in coming in and fulfilling those sessions with me, just because it wasn't of their own accord. So I think, like any other demographic, it has to be something that you buy into and something that you want to see the results from the work that you're willing to put into it, basically. So I think that's true with all people, all gym goers everywhere. I think that's something we all can relate to. Nobody wants to be told what to do by their spouse or loved. Can you tell us a little bit about the fact that so many of FitBod users are looking to build their lean muscle mass and looking to build muscle and looking to get stronger and progress their lifts? What are some of the benefits that we see from having increased lean muscle mass in our bodies?
So one of the main benefits is functionality, and that's something that gets spoken about a lot more in the industry now. A lot more people are focused on functionality, things like CrossFit, and that becomes increasingly relevant as we age. So most of us, without training, are functional enough to go about our daily lives. However, when you get to your sort of 70s and 80s, you can get to a point where actually tasks of daily living are either taxing or impossible. So that's one of the main ways it helps. In terms of our joints, things like arthritis, it's having muscle tissue around the joints provides some support and some protection. You're less susceptible to various different kind of injuries and pains. And then I'd say, maybe if I was to give one more benefit, it can help a lot with posture and holding ourselves in an upright position. So as we age, obviously postural deviations are quite common, and they're often the result of atrophy in the postural muscles, which are things like muscles in your back, for example. If the muscles in your upper back start to atrophy, then you will see a sort of hypotic posture start to occur where you're punching forwards at your shoulders. And that's something you could avoid if you were incorporating things like dumbbell rows or similar and maintaining strength in those muscle groups.
The range of equipment that you have access to. Now, you mentioned you're mobile and largely visiting your clients in their homes. So I would imagine you're either bringing some kit or leveraging bands. What are you using in the course of creating your programs for your clients?
I travel quite light. I drive a Fiat 500, so I can't take lots of weight.
You could lift the Fiat.
Yeah, I probably could, actually. I'm yet to try that one, but I have some light dumbbells, which I occasionally use. I have resistance bands, which I use for stretching them and for resistance exercise. That's probably what I use the most because they're safer to use than dumbbells and achieve a similar objective. And the last thing I use is sponge balls. That you can compress those in different ways to engage different muscle groups. I find the bands you stretch and you expand, whereas the balls you compress, so you can cover different areas that way, basically push and pull. So that's how I achieve a kind of well-rounded strength program.
Working with the demographic that you do, you must see incredible success stories or progress that is really, really inspiring to you and really helps to keep you motivated and inspired to do what you do. So do you have any stories that you would like to share with us of something that maybe has been a measure of success that you just felt really excited to see for one of your clients?
Yeah, every day I see my clients progress in ways that are really meaningful. So for example, if they improve the strength in their legs to the point that they can stand up out of a chair, where they can previously, that's huge for their daily life and their quality of life. And one particular lady that I was helping with that particular task, which I do quite commonly, she was basically chair bound when I met her and then got to the point where she could sit out of a chair or stand out of a chair by doing things like leg presses with the resistance band and things like that. And there was one time that I went to her house and I think her carer was busy or something. And she basically just came to the door and answered it, which was really sort of surprising to me, having seen her be in her chair and not even be able to walk around the room at all. That I found quite fulfilling, and that's one case study I can refer to.
That's an awesome story, because most of us in FitBot are younger, but we do have parents that are aging. And this can bring us hope that we can tell our parents, look, it's never too late. Because one of the worst things I can imagine for your clients is losing their independence.
That's what my work's focused around almost entirely, is functionality with the intention of maintaining or improving independence. Because independence is everything, really. It's how we maintain our quality of life, our dignity, our sense of purpose, our ability to contribute to the community, to spend time with our families. It's literally the foundation of everything that we love. And that is the main objective with my work, is to improve independence.
I think independence leads to a lot of happiness as well. I wanted to share a little bit of a personal story. I have a neighbor who's 74 years old, and she actually a couple months back slipped and fell in the night and actually cracked one of her ribs. And it really prevented her from being able to be as independent as she prides herself on being. She loves to remind me of the fact that she takes the stairs up to the fourth floor of our building every single time she heads out, and she loves to walk and get her groceries and stuff. And that slip and fall actually set her back for months, not only in the repair process, but also in a decline in her mental health. And she was very open with me in sharing the fact that it sent her into quite a depression to feel like she was no longer independent. And she felt like she had lost that as a result of this physical ailment that she was struggling to recover from. And happy to report she is well on her way to mending, and that rib has finally started to repair herself. And she was happy to report to me the other day that she carried her own groceries home from the store the other day. She didn't have to use the walker to bear the weight of the grocery bag. She was able to carry them home and walk them up the stairs herself. And I was so proud of her. It's a hard process to watch someone lose their independence and feel like they are really struggling to do the things that they want to be able to do. So I was happy to hear that she's well on the way to mending. So I assume that you see stories like that all the time. But Ben, if you were to leave us with some advice for our listeners as we look to wrap up this episode, what are some things that you would tell our listeners to help them feel inspired to maybe take control and to change what they might see as the inevitable as we age?
Yeah, that was a great story as well. I think that often our confidence and our pride and our dignity and all these sort of emotional factors are attached to our physical competence. And when that declines, our mental health can as well. And I think most lifters will have experienced that to a smaller extent if they've ever been injured and seen their lifts go down. And it can affect you. It can really make you feel rubbish if you pride yourself on your lifts and that's a big part of your lifestyle. So most people will actually be able to relate to that thing. In terms of closing messages, it's just my classic message, which is that we have agency over our aging process. It's never too late to start. there's lots that we can do in our earlier life to shift the trajectory of our aging process in a positive direction and improve outcomes. And we can also do the same for loved ones and family members who are already in that age bracket, particularly if we're involved in fitness and have an understanding of biomechanics and how the muscles work. There's a lot that we can actually teach to our relatives that are maybe in their 70s and 80s that will be beneficial to them.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It has been so nice to be able to meet with you today and to learn a little bit about how we can take control of our own outcomes. And hopefully people will feel inspired and realize that it is never too late. It's important for us to look to build muscle mass, no matter what stage of life that we're in, so that we can maintain a healthy, long and happy life. I think that's the goal for all of us. So thank you so much for your time, Ben. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been brilliant.
Thanks to our listeners. Check out the show notes at fitbod.me/podcast for all the details from this episode. Download the Fitbod app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Use the promo code BUILT for a 14-day free trial. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment and a rating on your favorite podcast network. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.